Okay, so Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm, then with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the saints. What a great action, call for action from Paul in these verses in Ephesians. This is it's a passage that if you've been around the church circuit for a number of years, you'll have heard on a fairly frequent basis. But I am always thrilled when I revisit something, because I know that God's got a message right now for us to hear from his word. So irrespective of whether I heard it 40 years ago as a young lad at Underwood Baptist Church being preached by the Reverend Brian Close, or 15 years seeing this was slightly grander, in Solihull, there's a gentleman, male model, stood with the whole armour there. Each week he was wheeled out, poor chap, stood there for 25, 30 minutes as the preacher spoke about each element of the armour. Or right now here in Towin, God has got a message for each one of us about the armour of God. And as I say, I'm doing the wrap-up, so I was thinking about how that could be, what that could look like. So I thought I'd go through some personal highlights. The belt of truth. Let's cast our mind back to when Ian presented this, started the series way back. Gosh, it feels like a lifetime ago, but it wasn't that long ago. But a lot's happened, and we've heard so much. One of the things that really struck me was that the belt of truth kind of holds everything together. It's the foundation that the armor is built upon. And this really struck a chord with me, as Jesus says in John 14, verse 6. And he's answering his disciples. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Hey, you know, as Jesus is truth, then just as we learnt that from a Roman soldier's armour, it's the whole of his armour is built upon truth, then with Jesus being the truth, then surely that is a good place to start to build our lives and our armour from. Then, like I say, there were lots of highlights. I'm just sort of looking at some of the things that struck me over the last wee while as I've been reflecting on this whole series, we heard another Ian Harrison, spoke to us about the shield of faith and the importance of picking it up. And it was really useful for Ian Harrison to remind us of to be actively ready for attack. Now, hey, you know, I don't want to be that have that as our focus, but being very aware that we are influencers of Jesus Christ on other people. Even if it's just the way that we act and respond to situations, we are influencers of God. And people will see how God is influencing our lives and how we react to things. And because of that, and it was great to hear Ian remind us that as we influence others, we are likely to become a target for the enemy. So picking up that shield every day to protect us from those fiery darts, from those moments where potentially we lose guard or drop our guard, that we're ready to deal with that and maintain that positive influence. Phil just recently reminded us about putting on the helmet of salvation. And just as the shape and the construction of a Roman legionnaire's helmet is designed to protect from a front, back, side blow, it was great to be reminded how salvation protects our mind and our relationship with Jesus. It was, thank you, Phil, for taking us on that journey through the scriptures into Romans 8:33. And being reminded about not being conformed to this age, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. That helmet of salvation locked in place, keeping our minds fixed on the main thing, which is Jesus Christ. I was also led to think about that verse in Corinthians, which says, we are engaged in... I picked this version, but I'm not entirely sure why I picked this out now, because it's got a word called confuting. Never heard this word before. Amazing. But I like this. You know, it's good because it stretches your own mind. We are engaged in confuting arguments and pulling down every barrier raised against the knowledge of God. We are taking captive every hostile thought to bring it into submission into God. Taking every captive thought, because that's where the biggest battle goes on. This is where that helmet of salvation being locked in place with that belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, that shield of faith, all being in place, will protect us and allow us to be ready to stand against what the enemy has to throw at us. And then last week, I listened to this as I journeyed on one of my travels around the country last week with work. Pete reminded us and talked about the sword of the Spirit and how the Spirit is the Word of God. I really like that image of that sword being even like shaped into a tongue. You know, it's the shape of a tongue. And actually, you know, by thrusting and jabbing with the right words at the right time, being led by the Spirit to draw upon God's word will help us to remain standing and be ready and also speak positively and thoughtfully and powerfully into a certain situation. It made me think about some of the great memory verses that I have locked away up here inside my helmet of salvation. And it made me also consider how I should be using these more in those moments when things don't go quite to plan and you revert and revert to self. But if you've got all that armour locked in place, then actually you're going to revert to God, aren't you? So those are some of my highlights that jumped out at me. I'm sure there's been so much to grab hold of. I'm hoping that you've got so many more and being able to reflect on those. So that was a quick whistle stop tour of the last few weeks. So my topic today, which is going to be the wrap up, is keep your armor shining. And so I'm just going to share a few thoughts on this final piece of the jigsaw. And so when I was thinking about sharing this message today, I was reminded of a time a few years ago from now when I had to wear, and this is tenuous, I know, folks, just work with me, please, work with me, okay? Look at that. When I had to, I know it's not armour, you've got to work with me. For those people who are listening to this on the podcast, I'm presently showing a photograph of James Hodges as an RAF in my basic training and quite recently, actually. Look at that fresh-faced young man with I've circled it so that you can look. Okay, just to give you a little bit more clue, I'm the one with the big white circle round. Okay. and I just thought, using imagery and just where God takes you in your studies is really important. I'm quite led by image and language. And so it kind of reminded me of a personal life lesson of keeping, it's not armour, it's a blue jumper and a beret. I know that. But actually, to me at that point, it represented safety. It represented something of purpose. It represented being part of something. It represented being ready. It represented a knowledge that I could stand and remain standing. And I can assure you, when I was at basic training, there was a lot of standing around. And the importance of keeping my kit and my uniform, my armour, shining. And not only because it was important and it was a good life lesson, but it also made sure that the fiery darts of my dear old instructor, Corporal McFarlane, wouldn't give me a right telling off, which he did a number of times right at the very start. So, as I say, this is a picture of me wearing a uniform that I wore every day. And it's not dissimilar to what God is calling us to do with this armour, to pick it up, to put it on, and to wear it. I wore it every day, and to keep it shining, I had to learn how to do this. So I'm going to share a couple of practical tips, and I brought some props as well, folks. I know, I'm throwing everything at this today. It's because I'm doing the wrap-up, okay? So I brought a couple of props, which I hope will help us in our keeping our shining. So, unbelievable, this picture is of me over 34 years ago, folks. Can you believe that? I had an important birthday again. What? Yeah, it's okay. This is 34 years ago. I know, it doesn't feel like it though. And it's a picture of me. I'm 17. I can't believe it. 17 in that picture, and I'm learning some real life lessons. And like I say, the job I'd had before this was I was working on a farm milking cows. So being clean and keeping tidy was not a priority in that role. So going into the RAF and making sure that my uniform was kept tidy was quite a life lesson. And here's my top tips. So lesson number one, listen to the guy in charge. Well, I've cut him off, actually. The guy in charge is just there, okay? There's Corporal McFarlane. Oh, gosh, he was an interesting character. But he was very passionate about the guys who he was training, which I liked. So lesson number one, listen to the guy in charge. Corporal McFarlane taught me a lot of things that have stayed with me. I'm reading this because it's important. These were to look after my uniform, walk around with a big white circle around me so everybody knew who I was. I've added that. That's Photoshop. Okay, and to make sure that the uniform is clean, it fits properly, and you look good in it. Oh, yes. And probably the best bit of advice he gave me on day one was to buy in a really good iron. Now, this isn't 34 years old. This is quite a recent purchase, but it's a really good iron, okay? So I told you, buy a really good iron. So what does that mean from a biblical point of view? And yes, there is a connection, okay? Okay. So, listen to the guy in charge. This isn't a rhetorical question I'm now going to ask everybody, okay? And I don't have a prize. I'm certainly not going to give away my iron as a prize to the first person who answers this. But in my life, that moment in the RAF, the guy in charge was Corporal McFarlane. He told me what to do. He looked after me and basically got me to smarten up my act. He made sure that my uniform was kept shining each day, and he certainly made me very aware if it wasn't. From a point of view of Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 18, if we're going to listen to and learn from the guy in charge, who is the guy in charge that we're going to listen and learn from? Jesus, Holy Spirit. Yeah, okay. All right. So, to ensure that we're listening and learning from the guy in charge, I always revert back to one of the Gospels that really helps me to follow Jesus, and that's Mark's Gospel. And as we read in chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus called to some fishermen, "Come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people." And why? By leaving those nets, the disciples learned loads of things by sticking close to the guy in charge. They learned how to do miracles. They learned how to step on scorpions. They learned how to feed thousands of people. They learned how to speak in different languages. They learned how to stand. And they learned how to stand upon the faith of knowing that Jesus was the guy in charge. So I could speak at length about Mark's Gospel because it's a place that I go to frequently. But I would encourage you this week to just revisit Mark's Gospel and read it in the context of keeping your armor shiny, listening to the guy in charge, learning from the guy in charge. Because Jesus has got a lot to teach us through that gospel. And I'd be really interested to hear what he's got to reveal to you. Because if he's revealing something to you, then he's potentially going to reveal something to us as a church. So buttonhole me next week and share what you've learnt on how to stand and how to go into battle in the spiritual realm. How we should be praying in the spirit. I'm really keen to know about what you've learned from reading Mark's Gospel. So, thank you, Jill. She's making a note of that. Well done. She doesn't get the iron. No, no one gets the iron. Okay? Right, moving on. Okay, because I'm conscious of the time. So that's lesson number one, listen to the guy in charge. Okay, two. To keep your armour shining, use the right equipment. Okay? So, I brought some other kit that Corporal McFarlane, on day one, showed me what to do. And that was, he said, buy some Kiwi shoe polish, black shoe polish. Don't buy the cheap stuff, James. He didn't actually call me James. He called me Hodges and buy a number, A8250723. He says, buy the Kiwi black shoe polish and get yourself a yellow duster. Okay, those are the two things. And he said, by putting a little bit of water in the cap, yes, you could take off the cap, he said. Take off the cap, little bit of water, shoe polish, and do little circles. Jill's nodding. Isn't that right, Jill? It's all coming back, isn't it? Then your shoes will shine like glass. I haven't brought my shoes. Obviously, I'm using them at the moment. These are suede. Don't use black shoe polish on suede shoes. It's not a good idea, okay? He also said, get yourself the best... I mentioned about the best iron. But honestly, he said, get yourself the best iron you can afford, Hodges. It'll pay dividends. I was like, yeah, right. So I went to the NAFI and bought myself the best iron I could. And actually, do you know what? That life lesson of buying a really good iron has stuck with me all the last 34 years. In fact, my wife bought me this fine... Yeah, you did. Best Christmas present in 2015. I did. No, seriously. Honestly, Krona bought me an iron and an ironing board. No, the ironing board... The ironing board, let me just say, the ironing board was wrapped up. And I looked at it and thought, I hope she hasn't bought me a surfboard. I really hope she hasn't bought me a surfboard. Honestly, I was so relieved when out came this wonderful Brabantia ironing board. Okay, it's very fancy. It's lovely. Okay, I'm not sure whether Corporal McFarlane was getting commissioned from the local Russell Hobbs, you know, the iron manufacturer. But listen, he taught me a lot. So, using the right equipment to keep it shining. What does that mean from a point of view about the armour of God? Okay, if we look at the scripture in Ephesians, Paul gives us a piece of kit to keep the armour shining. And that is, pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So what does that mean? For me, it means praying according to the Spirit, being Spirit-led by your prayers. It's very easy to go into a prayer time with that focus of what do I need? What do I want? Those requesting prayers. And actually, just by even thinking about this and doing a little bit of study around praying in the Spirit, allowing the Spirit of God to lead our prayers moves us from that place of being it all about being request-driven and petition-driven. It leads us into a different place of prayer. Prayers of thanksgiving and worship. Prayers of intercession. Prayers of confession, lament, and corporate prayer. It takes us to a different place of relationship and contact with God through prayer. And all these prayers, and I'm not saying that petition prayers and request prayers are wrong, but allowing yourself at that moment to be led by the Spirit in your prayers and exploring different styles of prayer and different types of prayer will have the power to defeat the enemy. And it's part of that armour. It's part of keeping our armour shining. Okay, and then three. And three. So get help to keep the armour shining. Get help if you're struggling. If you're struggling to keep all or part of your armour shining, get some help. Now, there you are, 17 years old, in a group of, oh gosh, I think there was about 32 of us. None of us had a clue. And it was a real moment of sort of listening to the guy in charge to get us through it. And we all struggled with the one element, at least one element, of being in the RAF and keeping our kit looking smart. But because I listened to the guy in charge and I took on his advice, I bought myself a good iron, I suddenly became the most popular guy in that 32 for ironing kit. I was a really popular guy in my barrack room and as seen as an expert in ironing. Now, you know, ironing shirts and ironing number one uniforms. And it resulted in me having to regularly iron 32 shirts every night and 32 other boiler suits every night. And then when it came to pass out parade, I had got another photo of me in pass out parade, but the gloves don't fit, so I look like I've got odd hands. Anyway, I was always disappointed about that. But back to the story and the point. When it came to pass out parade, I suddenly ironed everybody's number one uniforms, and these are the smart dress uniforms that you'd see at, you know, Buckingham Palace or a royal wedding. But I was quite pleased with that because I was doing a job for everybody else, and that meant that the areas that I wasn't so good at or I struggled with, which would have let myself down, other people took on and looked after me and took those on. You know, the fact that I wasn't great at pulling my shoes, but someone was really good at them and they did all my shoes. The fact that I wasn't that great at making my bed with hospital corners, and there was other people, meant that I was okay. So getting help if you're struggling and asking and being prepared to receive that help is an important lesson with regards to keeping our kit, our armour nice and shining. In the context of Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18, we were reminded by Ian Harrison a couple of weeks ago that as we influence others as we become a God influence in the lives of others, it is likely that fiery darts will start to be fired at us. Letting people know when things aren't going to plan or you're feeling under attack is an important element of keeping your armor shining. As we know, the Bible is littered with examples of great characters who allowed themselves to become vulnerable and open to attack. King David is a prime example of someone of great influence and great, and what a connection with God that king had. But not doing the right thing, not seeking support, not telling people that he was under attack, we see that his weakness, his failure to keep his armor shining and be ready to battle resulted in murder, adultery, and the death of a child. There's that famous saying is no man is an island. Anyway, there is a saying about it, but I've mucked it up. Don't be an island, any of us. If you're struggling with an area of keeping that, being able to put on your armour each day, don't be like James Hodges for a moment thought that he could do it all by himself and ended up running around the parade ground for a good couple of hours. Ask for help. Seek out someone who you can pray with, who you can reconnect through God's word with. It's fabulous that here at TBC we've got the house groups and where we can stay connected and be in more relational during the week. We've got church membership as another method of staying connected and being connected with the church. But there's other things and other ways of seeking out and asking for help. Even if you were just to say, do you know what, I'm going to go to the flower arranging club this week because I know that Christians are going to be there and I'll be able to just build some relationship with them. Picking up the phone, sending a text. These are all ways that we can ensure that we're keeping our armour shining. So, as I wrap up, why is keeping our armour shining important to us right now, here, as we move into the rest of the year as Tarwyn Baptist Church, and in your home churches, wherever you are, as individuals, as a corporate group of people, as fathers, as mothers, as aunties, as uncles, brothers, sisters. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read out again this scripture, because I think Paul describes it the best. And however much I'd like to be that Kevin MacLeod, the grand designs guy who can do the amazing wrap-up at the end of a series, let's leave it to God's word, because as in Isaiah says, when God's word is spoken and received, it will never return without taking effect. So, Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 18. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. All the flaming arrows, not some of them, all of the flaming arrows. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Folks, the King James Bible, this was that standout verse. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand.